If you have your Bible, Job, if you would, I want you to notice Job chapter 1. Now, what we're going to do for the next couple weeks until we split up is this. You know our theme is built up in Him. Okay? A lot of times we hear lessons and you can hear things. You can tell your children a lot of things they should do and should not do. You can teach your children. But people learn almost the best by example. So your children can hear you tell them you need to have your devotions, you need to pray, you need to spend time with the Lord, you need to control your temper, you need to do this and this and this and work hard. But if they see it in you, that cements it. That really gives them the encouragement, that's what I'm supposed to do. But if they hear you build them up and then you don't do it and I don't do it, then all of a sudden they say, who cares? What difference does it make? So the example is really important that all of us learn. Now we can learn from example and we can be encouraged that it can be done. And so when you and I do what's right in front of our children, in front of our grandchildren, in front of other Christians around, in front of our bosses at work, it lets them know we can do what's right and so can they. If he can do it, I can do it. How many of you ever have been on a high diving board and somebody goes in before you and you don't want to go in? Or you've been at a pool maybe and it's cold and you don't want to go in. There are times whenever, Susan loved to swim in water that was between 90 and 95 degrees. It's like a spa, okay? And so we'd keep the cover on it and it'd raise the temperature and she'd go, and we would, the rest of us, Jeremy Manning and the grandkids, we'd say, okay, you jump in it and it's like, whew, that's really warm, it's really nice. But after about 3 minutes of swimming, you're starting to perspire in the water, you know, because it's so hot. And so then last year, of course, Susan's in heaven and the pool water doesn't really matter too much. It's just us. So the summer sun usually keeps it warm. Well, I wanted to swim and try to get the exercise in. And so about October, the nights are in the 50s, the pool water drops. And so it starts out about 85 degrees. Now, that's perfect temperature, it's about 85. Does anybody know what Olympic swimmers swim in? The pool temperature in Olympic swimmers. Michael Phelps addressed this when they asked him, what will be the most enjoyable thing for you when you don't have to swim competitively? He said, I don't have to go swimming every morning at 5 o'clock in blank temperature water. Does anybody know what the temperature is? Want to take a guess? What's that? 70. Exactly. 70 degrees. Well, I jumped in at 85. This morning, my pool temperature water was 84. Okay? So that's wonderful, or at least yesterday it was. And so normally it drops 3 or 4 degrees during the night with a 50 degree temperature or 60. And so then when you jump in it, you can tell the difference between 85 and 82. It feels chilly. Well, when it hits 79, you stand on the edge of the pool and you coax yourself in. How many have ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? You stand on the edge, you say, wow, man, I can do it. Well, last fall, it was like, I guess it was late September, sometime like that. I went and checked the pool water, 71 degrees. So it would take me about 3 minutes to get up the courage to go in. But when I went in, it was like, ooh, took my breath away for about, 3 or 4 minutes. And then my body adjusted. And then it was okay. Jim Shetler came over 4 or 5 years ago, his preaching. And he said, it was early April. And I said, he said to me, you've been swimming yet? I said, no, the water's freezing. He said, oh, man, I'm from Minnesota. He said, what's temperature? So I don't know, I checked it, it was 70 degrees. So he got on the swimming trunks. I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. I think. And I jumped in, and man, it was like, he is crazy. And I'm trying to swim, and I'm trying to get warmed up. And he swam in about 15, 20 minutes. And I said, man. Well, this last fall in September, I said, in my mind, if he can do it, I can do it. Dove in, took my breath away, trying to get used to it, finally got it, and I was swimming. So Janet, last night, I said, hey, we're going to go swimming into September. And she says, what's the temperature? And so at 83, she said, oh, that's pretty nice. I like that. But it was a little nippy when you first jumped in. And I said, wait till it's 70. She said, not going, not going. Now, I said, if I can do it, you can do it. No, no. So my plan, she's not in here, I don't think. Oh, she's sitting back. I thought she was in the nursery. Oh. Well, I don't know if I can have to tell you my plan now. But anyway, if I'm standing there and it's 70 degrees, I say, oh, it's nothing to do. And I'm going to dive in and say, oh, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Come on in. I'm going to see if I can't coax her into it. Well, let me tell you this. A father and a mother got to get their children and say, look, I know kids at school, maybe they're not doing the right thing here. Or if you go to a public school, you know, you're the only one in your class, but you can do it. I had to do it. You can do it. And maybe someone's lost their job and they're struggling with it. And say, you know, I remember when I lost my job 5 years ago, and it was about 3 months before I got a job. And it was tough, but, you know, I began to trust the Lord, and, you know, it worked out. And it'll do the same for you. That encourages people. We all need examples in every area. Financial. Wow, I wonder how he handles the finances. I'd like to be able to handle my finances like that. I wonder how he got that job. Well, I'd like to get a job like that. I wonder how he's in such good health or she's in such good health. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder, and you begin to think, could you tell me what you've been doing? Example. I just want you to see. Now, everybody knows about Job. I'm going to take just a minute this morning, and I want you to tell me some things that Job did not do. Now keep in mind, one of the greatest examples of things that you don't do. So when Jeremy's growing up, I said, son, I never drank, not one time. I never smoked, one time. I never took drugs, one time. I only kissed one girl, your mom. So it's an example to him of what I did not do. I didn't write a girl's name on my book because, you know, David loves so-and-so. I didn't do that. I said, I want to save it for one girl. So all I'm saying to you is that all of us want to have example, want to provide something for our children. What things did Job not do? That was a great example. Can anybody think of one? Brother Don? You know what? If you have your Bible, notice. If you would, I want you to see he did not blame God. He did not curse God. Now, take just a minute and tell me all the things that happened to him. Let's just go through it real quickly because everybody knows the story of Job, but let's just go through. Name one thing that happened to Job in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Can somebody name one thing real quick? Jeanette?
He lost all of his wealth.
He lost all of his wealth. He lost cattle. He lost his camels. He lost his sheep. He lost everything. Something else happened to Job. He lost his family. How many children did he lose? Huh? He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, apparently. 10 kids. They're all fellowshipping, eating in their house, and a storm came along and crushed the house, and all of them were dead. Something else. What else did he lose? Anybody know? Yes, sir.
He lost his health.
He lost his health. He was, boils broke out on him. He was in absolute agony. And one other thing, he sort of thought he lost. He knew he didn't in here, but he sort of thought he lost it during all the things that went on. Can you think of what that is? His reputation. He lost his reputation. He lost his testimony. Now, there was no reason, but in that day, the prosperity gospel was going on. What is that? Somebody tell me what the prosperity gospel is. Anybody tell me what that is? Anybody know what that is? The prosperity gospel. Yes, sir, John? If you're right with God, nothing bad will happen to you. And so you'll find his friends said to him, said, you know, look, if you were doing what's right, none of this would be happening to you. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but I know one thing, my heart's right with the Lord and it is happening to me. So all these bad things happened to Job, but he didn't blame God. Notice if you would, in Job chapter 1, look if you would, in verse number 20. Then Job arose, now this is after he lost all of his family and all of his wealth. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And notice this. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not. He didn't blame God. Now, notice with me, if you would, in verse chapter 2 and verse number 9, by his sweet wife noticing all the things that happened to Job, she broke. It broke her heart. And wives, this is one of the reasons why you need to grow in Christ also, because something difficult is going to come for your husband and you've got to lift him up. You've got to stand there with him while he's suffering and not be like Job's wife. It's natural to be like Job's wife. You see somebody suffering and you see your loved one grieving and pain, and sometimes it just breaks your heart. And you say, Lord, why are you doing all this? We just break down. Notice in chapter 2, verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? This word integrity, do you still have this faith in God that he's going to take care of you, he's going to be good to you? Notice this, curse God and die. And he refused to do that. Notice in verse 10, but he said unto her, and notice the way he talks to her. It is a gracious, firm talk. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh, honey. Look, what shall we receive good at the hands of God? And shall not we receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. What an example. Now, what better could he have been? Now, keep in mind, he lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. And he really loses the support of his wife. He is all alone. But yet, he didn't sin with his lips. He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God, okay? Things he did not do. So when you and I are hard times, we don't say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? We don't let our heart and our mind go there, because God is good. God is good. In his nature, God is good. He loves to bless his children. He delights in that. God is good. No child, when you take him to the doctor to get checked out, to get a shot of something or have to have surgery, ever feels like their parents are on their side when they pull out. When you got to go back into the room with the little white coats, every child reaches out and screaming, and mama, please help me, and daddy, please help me. And the bottom line is they just don't understand why you didn't protect them. And as an adult, we begin to grow into the position of we know God's character. And his character is always good. Once you let that be a fundamental belief of your heart, Job had that, then everything else is a mirage. Satan is doing this. God's not doing this, because God is good. I know I've lost my health, but God is good. That is why Job never sinned with his lips. He didn't lose his faith. His wife broke, but that's human. That would happen to all of us if we're not careful. That's why I want you to be built up in Christ to the point where something difficult comes, you can stand. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, and having done all, to stand. Just to stand up for the Lord. Well, notice he didn't blame God. Can you name something else he did not do? Something else that Job did not do. Yes, sir.
He didn't sin with his eyes. He made a covenant with his eyes.
Okay. He didn't sin with his eyes. He didn't look for another woman. In Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why should I think upon a younger woman that is more attractive than my wife, and my wife is broken down and is not a support to me? He said, I made a covenant with my heart. Well, if men would do that, no matter what my wife does, I'm going to make a covenant with my heart that I'm going to love her and I'm not going to look around. Wow, what a Christian he was. After his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He had a covenant in his heart, said, I'm not going to look at another woman. What a Christian. An example to all of us. Notice, if you would, something else Job did not do. Let me give it to you. When he endured criticism, Job chapter 4, look if you would, Job chapter 4, he didn't lose his temper and yell at his friends, curse his friends. Notice, if you would, verse 3, Job 4, 3. This is Eliphaz speaking, one of his friends. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. That is his testimony. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. They mistook his grief and sorrow for fainting. They said, you've lost your testimony. Look what you've done. Did you know the Bible says that? Look in Job chapter 16. I want you to see this. Job chapter 16. There's no negative response to his friends by yelling at them and cursing at them. But notice this, what he does. In verse number 19 and 20, this is Job 16, 19 and 20. Notice what he does. Verse 20. My friends scorned me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Listen to what he asked for. Verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. I'm looking for a prayer warrior to pray for me. As a man pleadeth for his neighbor. He said, he didn't mistreat his friends, but he prayed for a friend that would pray for him. Anybody here like to be somebody's prayer warrior? Wow, we can learn from that. Job did not have a prayer warrior for him. His wife gave up. His children were gone. His friends forsook him. And they said, look, here you are. You're whining and you're crying and all this. And, you know, troubles come up on you. Try to tell everybody else. The Lord is worth it. And yet you'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Job 13. Don't you see this? Job 13. Notice with me, if you would, verse 15. Though he slay me, speaking about the Lord, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine old ways before him. So you can see the thing he did not do. He didn't lose faith. His friends gave up on him. His wife gave up. Now, his wife didn't, it doesn't say his wife left him. It just says she gave up that God was good. Job had a belief in his heart that God is always good. Do you and I have that? No matter what comes our way, I know God is good. I know that. It gets you through. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, he's trying to get him to understand, look, I'm never giving up. I'm never going to give up my trust that my God has got my back and that he's going to strengthen me. I know it doesn't look like it right now. And his friend said, you know, hey, look, Job, you messed up. God is against you. I want you to notice this. Look, if you would, in Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Look with me, if you would. Job chapter 5 in verse number 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. You know what he's trying to say? He said, look, you know, this is his friend saying to him, you know, you need to be happy. How do you be happy when all your family's gone? When your wife's forsaken you? Well, you be encouraged in the Lord, but happiness is a little different. Notice with me, if you would, what he does. Look in verse number chapter 8 and verse number 3. And notice what his friends say. Doth God prefer judgment? Is this God's fault? Look at verse 4. If thy children have sinned against him, he cast them away for their transgression. If thou would seek unto God betimes or early, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. There's the prosperity gospel. If you are right with God, oh, you know what else he does? He really does something terrible. If your kids hadn't have sinned, they wouldn't have died. Wow. That was his friend said that. At that point in time, Job, in most circumstances, I thought I'd punch you in the nose in Christian love for saying that about my kids. They said that. And if you were right with God, notice the wording, if thou wert pure and upright, if you weren't such a sinner, then God would be good to you. That's his friend saying that. You know, I've told you before, but I remember one of the things that Susan said to me. I'll never forget it. She'd been in the hospital about 50 days in a row. And she said to me, she said, honey, I just want you to know that this is not because of some sin in my life. She said, my heart's right with the Lord. I want to do what's right. Now, you know, she didn't need to say that, but wow, what an encouragement. And there's Job. He's saying, you know, my heart's right. I want to trust the Lord. All I'm trying to say to you today is Job did not jump on his friends. He did not get bitter. He didn't get bitter toward his friends, even though if somebody said that to you, boy, I tell you what, you might hold on to it for a while. I can't believe he said that about my kids. They're sinners. That's why they got killed. I can't believe he said that about me. If you were pure and right, then God would be good to you. See, there's the prosperity gospel mentioned in verse 6, and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. If you were right with God, God would bless you and make you prosperous. That is not always a truth, because sometimes there's temptations that come our way. You know, Pastor, if you had good teachers, they wouldn't put so much pressure on a kid during a test. I was talking with Kayla, my granddaughter, yesterday, and she said, yeah, she said, I'm taking physics, and physics is a real challenge to me. But she said, I'm studying hard, and I'm making good grades on the quizzes. And I said, that's the way you win. You just do day by day by day the things you can do, and then let the Lord take care of the rest. And she said, I'm working at it. Well, that's the attitude you got to have. And so Job had that attitude. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll just keep doing one day at a time. But I'm not going to get mad at my friends. I'm not going to get bitter. But I want you to notice this, if you would. Look at chapter 10. After they said that, notice chapter 10, verse number 13. Look at the attitude God had, that Job has toward the Lord. Verse number 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor, the Lord said, Job says to the Lord. And thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Your presence has kept me alive. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. I know you're good. And if I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet I will not lift up my head. He said, even though I'm trying to do what's right, and if I were considered to be righteous, I'm still not going to lift up my head and say, Lord, I'm doing right. He kept a humble spirit. even though knowing he was righteous in his heart. There was nothing between he and the Lord. Do you know this morning that there's nothing between you and your God? There's no bitterness. There's no lustfulness. There's no covetousness. Everything is right. All your sins have been confessed. There is absolute peace between you and God. Well, Job knew that. But he still wouldn't lift up his head and say, I'm not going to lift up my head, even though I'm trying to do what's right. Kept a humble spirit. What a man of God this is. But I want you to notice one other thing real quickly. Look in Job chapter 20 and verse 5. Chapter 20 and verse 5. Now here is Zophar, one of his friends, speaking. That the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Don't you know that, Job? So he gets called a hypocrite and he gets called wicked. This is his friend. I wonder what people in town were saying. So when you get talked about, don't get bitter. Don't blame somebody else. Don't hold it against them. Notice what he says in chapter 19. Look back over to chapter 19, verse 19. You want to underline this verse. You think Job didn't go through it. Look at this. Look at his feelings. All my inward friends abhorred me. What's an inward friend? A best buddy. Someone you've depended on, counted on. All my inward friends abhorred me. And notice what he says. And they whom I loved are turned against me. Even my family's turned against me. You're talking about being alone. And notice, if you would, that Job 42, very quickly. Job 42. In verse 6, these are Job's words. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He's a righteous man with God and he still repents. He still says, Lord, I don't deserve to be in your presence. And after that, notice in verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, notice what he says. Look here, verse 7. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. What vindication. Now, you know, if it had been me, I'd have been sitting over saying, I told you so, Timnath. You know, you deserve that. That's the fleshly desire. But notice what Job does. Read verse 8, and you realize he just consistently did what was right. Look at verse 8. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. And notice this. You go get Job to pray for you, because if you don't, look what he says, lest I deal with you after your folly. So now Job has the spiritual responsibility to pray for those nitwits that called him hypocrite and wicked and your kids were sinners and that's why they died. Job's got to say, Lord, would you bless my friends? Would you forgive them? Lord, would you be good to them? Look at what happens, verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and notice the next word, when he prayed for his friends. God never expects us, if we're built up in him, to take it out on our friends, our family. He just doesn't allow that. When you pray for your friends. So you and I have to learn a lesson. One of the greatest lessons we can learn about Job is don't let anything somebody says or does to us get to our heart. Always be able to say, Lord, bless Joe Dill. I know he said this. I know he said that. Bless Drew Gardner. I know he asked for so much money in IT stuff. He's always asking for more money. I don't know what he's doing with it, Lord, but would you bless him? Lord, would you bless that sound guy back there, Joe? I know you got him on crutches. He deserves it because he shuts me off sometimes on the sound. I mean, Lord, would you? You see, we don't do that. Lord, Will you bless my friend? They were friends, I thought. They've forsaken me. But Lord, bless them anyway. Bless my boss, Lord. He's not done me right. I know somebody this week that got a raise. I think it was after 8 years. How many of you have gone 7 years without a raise? Let me see your hand. Okay? I see three or four people. Do you have a good spirit towards your boss after he did that? I mean, kind of hard sometimes. When you pray for your friends after they've done you bad. Just remember that. What an example Job is to me. God never accepts me holding one thing against Joseph Dela Cruz or Joe Dill or Stephen Jackson or Brandon Lawrence. Nobody. Because he is always good to me. And I'm to be always good to him. Father, would you help us to learn the example of Job? Lord, the faith that he had in you, and yet, Lord, the absence of bitterness, the absence of cursing you, the absence of doubt in you. Lord, give us the strength. Help us to take Job's example and use it for our own strength and encouragement and for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.